We are all caught up in this human experience. Here we are, we're on a planet that is circling the sun, that gives us warmth, that gives us daylight. We get rest at night because of the spin of the earth. In some parts of the country, there are different seasons, not in Texas, but in some parts of the country. But we're all in this experience, this human experience. And in this human experience, we are really cast between two options. One option is to believe that there is a creator, that there is a God, and that there is a plan that God has set forth for man before the foundation of the world. If we are believers in that, we are either believers of the greatest lie that has ever been given to man, ever propagated upon man, ever partaken of by man. Or it is truth. And if it is truth, well then there are certain consequences that go along with that. I want to present to you this afternoon because of God and the things that exist, some of the things that exist in this human experience that we are all engaged in. I have studied with people before that told me, I will not have faith, I will not be a believer in anything, I only accept what it is that I see, that I experience, what I can perceive by the perceptions that I have, that is the five senses. And it's very interesting, the vast majority of the time that I've had discussions with people that express those particular feelings, they are highly educated people. And things are going quite well for them, usually. And that has been the case with those that I've come across. I made a comment, some of you heard it, at James Duvall's memorial. I'll repeat it again. For those people that might have that thought, I will only accept what it is that I can perceive, that I can see, that I can touch, that I can smell, those things of the five senses. But that's not the case. They are actually people of faith also. Just in the things that exist on this earth, if you ask them, well, do you believe in radio waves? They'll say, well, yes, certainly. Well, they have to because the majority of them have some sort of smartphone. They use Wi-Fi and so forth. And you ask them, what does that look like? What does radio waves look like? What is the appearance of it that makes you accept radio waves? And quite often I've had a stunned look by someone that I asked that question to. Because, well, I don't know what it looks like. I know the effects of it. I say, exactly. We don't know the feature, the physical feature of that which exists, which is radio. We don't know that. And we could go through a whole litany of things. What does heat look like? Well, heat, where you see heat out there, well, then you see, of course, a kind of a mirage. Well, no, that's the effect of heat. What does heat look like? What does cold look like? Well, there's ice and so on, but that's the effect of it. What is the appearance of cold? And again, you can go through all those different things. So really, when you come down to it, there's no one that is not a person of faith. It's either faith that is a blinded faith, a faith without true evidence, or a faith that is based upon the evidence that is given that there is a God. Because of God. Because of God, us. People, human beings, because of God, we exist. there is not a happenstance that has taken place that caused us just to miraculously appear. It's not a happenstance that came about by millennium of evolution, macroevolution, that has caused one species on the face of the earth to rise above all the other species, in which then there is reason, sentient existence, but rather it is that which is by design. And the acceptance of that is not based upon something that we can see. When we go to Scripture and we think about it, in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the very first part of that verse says, in the beginning, God. And this is the very first verse of the entire book that we call the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And it's so interesting the way that this is presented to us. God is not argued. God is not attempting to be proved by this statement. God is presented. He's presented, and then from that point forward, there is evidence that is given, not that he can be seen, but rather evidence of his existence. And it says it really in the second part of the verse, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I told you before, but I want to repeat it one more time. I studied with a man that was an atheist that believes in the Big Bang Theory. And we were studying and decided to go get something to eat. And so we got in my car and we drove, and I knew that they had just opened up a brand new Subway. It was in Elgin, actually. They just opened that up. Pulled up in front of it. I said, how about Subway? He says, hey, when did that open up? I said, well, actually, it opened up just a few days ago. Really? So it's brand new. I said, yeah, there was an explosion here. And when all the dust cleared and everything settled down, well, then there were people inside and all the meats were there and there were cash registers and tables and so forth. He said, you're making fun of me. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not making fun of you. I'm trying to show you the logic in things. And that was just illogical. Because there was design in that. And it took time to build. Just as there's design in us, human beings, so that we are that sentient being, that we are above all other beings that are upon this earth. Not from the standpoint of arrogance, is that statement made, from the standpoint of fact. And in the process of time, man has not changed. Technology has changed, but man has not changed. And man will always be the same as long as there is time. So God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:26 through 29. God said, let us make man in our own image. He's not talking about that which is physical. He's talking about that which is in man, which causes that sentient being to exist, that we have knowledge, that we can, if we want, and not all want, but we can, if we want, determine right and wrong, and that we can make choice. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that's on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it will be for food. We have God then placing man above all other creatures. And that everything that was made by God was made, as far as the substance is concerned, to sustain man. That is the earth and all other things. When we look over in the 100th Psalm in verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are people and sheep of his pasture. Whenever I look at that passage of Scripture in connection with us, because of God, us, not only will man have faith in something, man will also worship something. That is just the way that man is, the way that human beings are. There is worship of something. whether it be of the God of heaven that exists, that is the creator of all, the majesty on high, or whether it be even man worshiping man, human beings, or that which is created. And so as we look at this, we begin to see some things about this human experience. First of all, it's not a happenstance, and the presentation is made here. You recognize, hopefully you recognize, that from this point forward, opposition has been given by those that say, no, that there is no God. Well, what was your proof text prior to this introductory statement that is given by God as far as our existence is concerned? And there is none. It comes after. It has come afterward. But not only because of God, us, human beings, morality. Morality exists because of God. Genesis 3, 7, and 8. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And Adam and his wife Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. There was morality. Prior to that time, before they had sinned, their eyes had been made open then to that which was right and that which was wrong. They had no knowledge of that, but now morality comes on the scene. It is the philosophy of the day that morality only comes about because of the human experience. The Hatfields kill a McCoy, and McCoy kills a Hatfield, and that takes place over generations, and after some period of time with a lot of Hatfields and McCoys laying dead, someone says, you know, well, there might be a better way. So morality was born. That's not the case, because there are those that take the place of the Hatfields and McCoys today, and ever will, as long as this life exists here upon this earth. We have rulers of this world that appear to be benign, and then one day they wake up and they attack another country. Why? Because of a lack of morality. A lack of respect for the fellow man. See, morality is respect for fellow man. Respect for fellow man. It's so interesting, those that cry out against the Word of God, when the God of heaven condemns certain sexual orientation, saying that is really just a choice, and in some cases even the way that people are made, and it's just the way they are, and they will deny that morality exists to further their cause of equality. In their mind, deny morality and engage in other things that are even more heinous, such as pedophilia. And that happens. But morality has taken place because of God. Because of God's law. When we look in Genesis 3 and verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. God gives the answer to morality. Remember in the first section of scripture we saw here in Genesis 3, 7, and 8, Adam and Eve made coverings for themselves, which was not sufficient. God stepped in and then made the coverings for them that was sufficient, that was proper, that was appropriate. Therefore, morality existed and came forth from God. When we look in Romans 10, verses 8 through 11, what does the Word of God say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There's also that spiritual morality, so to speak, that exists. We're being clothed upon by Christ Jesus causes one to be then without shame, because they put upon themselves the clothes of Christ. has been supplied by the Father in heaven. We see that in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 26 and following. Putting on Christ Jesus. So morality exists. There are those that say there is no right or wrong. It's so interesting. We've seen that over the past few years in connection with the cry to defund the police and so forth. And we've seen the evidence of that taking place by those that have made that cry, who have then sustained personal attacks against themselves. And who do they call first? They call the police. Well, why do that? There is no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. What's the point? Why would you call them? They recognize. They won't admit it, but they recognize right and wrong. They recognize morality. Because of God, reason. Reason exists. The animals that are not guided by reason have no remorse when they kill another animal for their food. There's a certain bird in South America that will go to another bird's nest and kick out its eggs and lay their own egg in there for that bird then that built the nest to raise not her chicks, but the other bird's chicks. Have not seen a report to this point in time where that bird that did that says the other bird, sorry about that, I didn't mean to do it. Because there's not reason that is there. Because of God, there is reason. When we look in Isaiah 1, verse 18, come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is not the reason that we usually think of. But what God is actually doing is presenting the way. The one way in which man can be pleasing unto God, which is reasonable. Which is reasonable because man is a created being. When we look over in Matthew 21, 25 through 27, Jesus asked the question, the baptism of John, he's asking the Jewish leaders of the day, the baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. And there you have reasoning taking place, but all of this, of course, is evil reasoning that takes place, but still reason. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. We look at this, we understand then that man uses reason, and he uses it wherever he wants to in connection with what it is that he is considering at the time. And will then answer accordingly. In Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, then Paul, as was his custom, went in to them for 3 Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. That is the reason that Isaiah presents, God presents through Isaiah. Come now, let us reason together. Well, what reason? Well, the reason that is right and wholesome and true and good and is unto salvation. And the evidence is there. Think about the religions of men today. So many of them deal really with anger and hate and separation from all others. That's what comes from man. Because of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life that is in this earth. But there is a reason that stands as absolute truth, and that comes from God. Because of God, choice. Because of God, choice. God is so powerful that I don't think that anyone that is a believer in the existence of God would say that God could not make us do anything that we don't want to do. He could do that. If he can create this world, the things that are seen and the things that are invisible. If he can do that, and things that are invisible such as radio waves, we talked about that earlier. If he could do that, well then he could make us do anything that he wants us to do. He could force us we would be like puppets before him. But God didn't do that. He gave mankind from the very beginning choice. Because of God, we have choice. Understand, if you're not a believer in God, that came from God. Your one and only right not to believe in his existence. It's not from you. It's not from man. Man has no power in connection with that. The choice that you have comes from God. Over in Genesis 4 and verse 7. Cain and Abel offer sacrifice to God. They had received instruction from God on what sort of sacrifice to offer. Abel brought forth a blood sacrifice, which was required for forgiveness of sins and always has been. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Cain brought forth a sacrifice that he made determination to bring. He made a different choice not to follow God's instruction, but rather to follow his own. And then he became very angry, and God said to him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And here's another thing given us by God, because of choice, we can choose not to sin. We can choose not to go against God's will. Because of God, there is choice. In Joshua 24, verse 15, as Joshua is about to die, he addresses the people of Israel. Says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why did Joshua make that choice? Because of the evidence of God that was ever before him. Why do people today make the choice to follow God? Because of the evidence of God that is ever before them. Not only the physical things that are here, but this book that we have. It doesn't teach hate. It doesn't teach envy. But teaches obedience unto God because God is love. And God passes that love on and expects love then in return. Because of God, there is choice. 119 Psalm, verse 111 and 112. God, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my ear to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Why would the psalmist say that? Because there is no denial. There is no denial in the morality and the reason that is contained within God's word. There's no denial of it. That it, one that follows those things is just a better person than those that do not. Because of God, life and death also. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. You look at this and we come to an understanding that in this human existence, not one human has come up with a way to overcome death except one, Christ Jesus. All others are overtaken at some point in time by death. And the fact of the matter, from the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Why? Because they are temporal human beings here upon this earth. And those that have faith in God don't hope for that continuance. They hope for something better, and that is a confident hope. In 2 Peter 1 verses 3 through 4, as his divine power is given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that godliness entails morality, reason, and choice. Because it is God's ordinance. It's who we look to. We look to God, and that's that God word or God toward attitude. He says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world today, those that walk by the rule of the human law find themselves without hope, find themselves at the end of time crying out to the very one that they claim that they don't believe. I have so many, and I presented a lesson on this some years ago here. I have so many examples, staunch atheists that are on their deathbeds, and the words they cry out, God, oh God, how could I deny you? God, if there be a God, save my soul, if I have a soul, from hell, if there is a hell. Some recognition that there is a higher being as they are about to pass from this life. But it's too late. It's too late. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, bodily exercise profits a little, or for a little while, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You see, there's another aspect in connection with all of this, and that aspect is that even though this physical body will perish, it will die, and that will be for everyone, that doesn't mean the end of us. Because we go back to the very beginning, because of God, us, and us truly is that immortal spirit that is within us. And it lives forever. When we look over then in Jude, the 15th verse, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God, I don't believe in God. One actress on her deathbed, just within an hour of her death, had one of her maids in her room, and she saw the agony that she was going through, dying of cancer on her deathbed, and she bowed her head to pray, and the actress cried out, don't you pray to that blank, blank God for me. He doesn't exist, and I don't want to hear it. And then in just within a short time, she passed from this life. The execution of judgment comes upon those that deny. But God has provided life, because death is the ultimate as far as this physical condition is concerned. He has provided life, because being made in his likeness, we don't just perish. We just don't go out of existence. We continue because of God. Because of God. If you're not a child of God this evening, give your strong reasons. Present them. It's so interesting. The very things that people that don't believe, say that they don't believe in God, the very things that they use to try to disprove God ends up proving God. Physics, science, true science. Not philosophical or theoretical science, but true science. Is it proving God? Thermodynamics, it proves God. All of it is beyond the capabilities of man. Because of God, right now, because you have life in your body, you can make choice. If you're not a child of God, you can render obedience to him this very afternoon. The water's fairly warm. And it's not a tradition, and it's not a ritual, it's not a ceremony, but rather it is a call of obedience from God to those that would really show forth in their life Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, where they give up themselves, just as Christ did. That there is a death, as Christ accomplished, but in ourselves it is putting away that old man of sin, that old way of life, that tries to reason God out of their life so that they really can't get there. They are then buried as Christ was buried, but not in a grave, but in the waters of baptism, then risen again, then no longer a doubter, no longer a sinner, no longer an evildoer, but now a child of God and counted by God as absolutely forgiven. You see, you have that choice. Because you're alive. When that choice is over, it will be because you no longer live. And you've made determination by the reason that is God given to you to deny him. But in doing so, you forfeit the life that he offers. If there are those in the audience that we can assist in this human experience, to transcend the human experience and go into that which is spiritual, that which is wholesome, that which is moral, that which is right. Let us help you in that choice. If we can do so, won't you come as we stand and sing?